This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Podbay 2A on the corner of Craftview and Nada Vista. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 Kelvin to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Daryl, Diana, and James?
Yeah.
I'm feeling it. I can feel it. Yeah, I'm feeling it.
Yeehaw.
It's all up in there.
Whoa. That escalated quickly. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCAT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCAT.org. All right, so we are back. Took the night off last night. We are the Freedom Fiends. I am Jeremy. I'm joined tonight by Daryl and Diana and James. It's a whole big squirm worms going on up in here.
That's right, yeah.
So. Don't you love the power? You got the power of the control of the seat one, Jeremy. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Yeah, I like to think of it as a power thing. More realistically, it's just I'm the only schmuck that'll do this on a regular basis. So, you know, that's why I end up here. It's by default.
Well, with great power comes great schmuck responsibilities.
Yes, exactly.
You know, schmuck is really not a very nice word. Just saying.
You're right. Was that GCN friendly? But
now that we've all said the word, I hope it is.
If we have a lot of Yiddish listeners, then it's probably not cool.
Yeah, I do. You know, that's one of those things ingrained in my mind as a kid. You know, said a lot, and you don't even think about it. So, yeah. Oh well. Sorry if I offended anyone. Yeah.
But it's so much fun to say. I mean, Yiddish words are just a lot of fun to say. I love to say, you know, rather than, oh my gosh, I'm so hot. I'm sweating. I'm schwitzing.
Oh, see, and I was just about to say, I don't even think I know any other Yiddish words, but I know that one.
Yeah,
I'm schwitzing. I'm feeling very verklempt right now.
Yeah, verklempt, that's another good one, and then there's schmutz, like if you have, you know, got a little bit of, like, you know, stuff on your face, or let me get that schmutz off for you.
Bubala.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I grew up with words. A Jewish grandma and grandpa.
Oh, yeah. My grandfather was Jewish, and so I grew up with hearing a lot of Yiddish. I had, as a kid, I had no idea. But
there's two Jewish fiends here tonight. Doesn't that give us some kind of, like, aren't we allowed to say the word then? Is that how it works? Since you guys are here, don't we get a pass?
Hopefully.
That's all those things work, you know. Black people are allowed to say certain words, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's how it works. Yeah.
Don't be trying to cultural appropriate Daryl and me either, so.
Yeah, you know, because owning that whole culture, we own the whole culture. We say how it goes down for anything related to that.
I would never think of doing such a thing. Not my style.
Yeah. Don't you know that there were two sides to the Holocaust? I mean, come on.
Well, there are two sides to every story, you know, so...
triggering.
Thank you.
Isn't that what the Mango Mussolini was out there saying today?
Basically,
he was. Which we started talking about a little bit before the show, and James and I seemed to come into a disagreement about that. But I also didn't pay as much attention as maybe he did. But yeah,
Mango Mussolini for all the people.
Oh yes, for those who don't know, that's my affectionate name for the current resident of the awful office.
Mango Mussolini.
I really like that.
Yeah, I wish I could take credit for that one. I don't know who came up with that one, but of all the different names, like, you know, there's the with the different Cheeto references and stuff like that. But the Mango Mussolini is definitely my favorite.
Yeah, I would agree. Except for I'm not sure that he has, I don't know, is on the same level of intelligence as Mussolini.
Probably not. No, I also don't. I really don't actually believe the man is a fascist either. I think I had this discussion earlier with a couple of friends.
I don't think he's smart enough to be a fascist.
I think Trump is an opportunist above all else. You know,
exactly. I was saying that to someone earlier. He's an opportunist.
Yeah, because another friend of mine was saying earlier that now he's starting to lean towards the fact that maybe Trump is racist because of the way he's acting in the aftermath of this whole thing. And I don't really think so. I think, you know, him not wanting to condemn the alt-right more than anything is a political move, because that's his base.
That's his base.
He doesn't want to condemn his base.
So he can't. Right.
He may not be racist, but he knows race has got him elected.
Oh yes. Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, didn't David Duke come out and say something after his initial statements about, you know, how, you know, I guess appalling or whatever it was, and didn't David Duke come out? I'm not sure exactly what he said, but then, you know, he comes out and says something, and the next thing you know, Trump is sort of backtracking a little bit on what he said, and goes back to saying, yeah, there's violence on both sides, and blah blah blah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
At the beginning, Trump kind of came out and condemned it and said, mm-hmm. you know, it's horrible to kill people. And then all of a sudden, he backtracked on that quite severely. Went running backwards on that, and started trying to make excuses real quick. And it was after David Duke said something, which is weird because, you know, Trump had, when he was running, what was it, in 2000, I think it was the Reform Party. I forget if that was 2000, 2004, 2008, one of those years.
I think it was 2000, but I can't remember
what year it was. But when he was running for the Reform Party, David Duke was running for the Reform Party too. And Trump decided to not run for the Reform Party and quit that party just because David Duke was there. David Duke's presence made him quit. Yeah. And he made a statement about it, you know, that he's not going to be a part of something with, you know, the Klan member like David Duke.
Huh.
And that's, you know, that's what I find interesting now, you know, fast forward to where David Duke says something and now Trump's backtracking.
Right.
It's so, you know, I don't really, you know, that's where I don't think he really is. But he is definitely taking advantage of that.
Right,
he's
right.
He's definitely taking advantage of the support that, you know, people like David Duke and, you know, David Duke's followers have given him.
Right, yeah. That's exactly, it illustrates the fact that, yeah, he is indeed an opportunist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now,
like,
I mean,
how much?
Sorry, go ahead, Daryl.
How much do you really think, like, Trump's words are really his own choice to say, or the whole thing being scripted for things like this that achieve a lot of media attention? What do you think?
Hmm.
Well,
He's been talking like this for years.
That's what I was going to say. Like, normally I would be with you that I think a lot of these, you know, a lot of the people that get trotted out as president really are just, I mean, and I think Trump is to a certain extent too, just like mouthpieces. But Trump really, he just goes off the cuff constantly, and I think that's why both sides are continuously flummoxed by him, because the Republicans can't control him the way they want to. I mean, to a certain extent, obviously, because he's definitely, you know, he changed course on a lot of things that he was just like so many other people before him, you know, changed course drastically on a lot of things after he got elected, because it's like I envision he was just sat down and people just patted him on the head and said, you know, Donnie, those are some really nice speeches you gave, but this is the way things really work here. And, you know, he kind of has to, like, you know, toe the line on certain respects, but he is every bit the loose cannon with the tweets that he's been for years, you know, now as president. So I don't know that much of what he says is actually scripted. I just kind of picture the hamster running on the wheel, tapping words out as he goes, because even he doesn't know where he's going to end up most of the time once he starts talking or tweeting.
I picture it as really well-crafted, high-level acting and intelligence to some degree, you know, just because it pulls so many emotional threads. But if it was done, like, on the spur and he just sort of is totally ad-libbing it, like, whose line is it anyway? Well, then, you know, that's pretty cool and amazing for a skill. Or if he, like, to some degree, you know, just like any writer on, you know, Jimmy Fallon and stuff like that, they got writers behind them giving them awesome lines so they don't have to depend on their own greatness, you know. So it's probably some combination, I guess. I don't know. What do you think? A combination? No, it's all just all ad lib. It's just he has no carrot and stick to say, you will say these things, you will never say these things. Like,
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think they're two different situations, because as a matter of like policy and stuff, there's certain things that I think most presidents get told you're going to say this, you're not going to say this. Yeah. But when it comes to like, you know, his biggest presence is still social media. Mm-hmm. And to me, that just seems like all him, because if you track back his tweets for years, it's the same exact style, like, you know, kind of like high schoolish writing, type of attitude. That's
not
that's
even
Trump. I was giving him the benefit of the doubt.
I feel like I read somewhere where they said that he writes and speaks on a fifth grade level something.
But you know, he tweets like most of the teenagers I know, so that's why I think I was going that route. But probably closer to fifth grade level.
Well, these days, most teenagers are probably more at a fifth grade level, too, so.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, don't most people read at an extremely low level anyway? But, you know, thanks, government.
Right, yeah. I think maybe the average is like an eighth grade level or something like that. Read and write at an eighth grade level, yeah.
I think there's a problem with the grading system in general. That's all.
Yeah,
thing. But yeah, I think. I know what you mean by eighth grade level. It's slow. Yes. Eighth grade's inner city level or eighth grade suburbs, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, I was reading some pretty sophisticated material like in the eighth grade. So, I mean, you know, I guess it depends on the person, too.
Well, of course.
But yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I really think that, like I said, his social media stuff, I really think it's him. Because, like, you know, I mean, look what happened the other,
Why would anybody want to make him look like that? You know, well, it just, I guess in a way, there would be to serve some purpose for sure. Yeah. Okay.
Well, he is the ultimate distraction. Like, you know, there's always other people out there that are screaming about false flags. Or, you know, the conspiracy there is to think everything is a false flag. This guy's amazing. Like, he's amazing at like just shifting the focus. I mean, look how many look how many people he got into an uproar over that tweet that he said he was, you know, the transgender thing with that he said he was going to that. They were going to be banned, essentially. Mm-hmm. It was not a policy, you know, decision whatsoever, which is him tweeting off the cuff, and he got half the country in an uproar freaking out about it.
Well trolled.
That's true.
Yeah. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
We'll be back after this trip to the market. Firearms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is Michael W. Dean's novel from the year 2000. It's entirely fictional.
Allegedly.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is a glorious story about a low-rent post-punk rock star, Cash Newman. Cash Newman is entirely made up.
Not a guarantee.
And is not based on any particular person.
Not a guarantee.
Cash Newman has lots of fun with strange ladies and with the party favors.
Don't try this at home.
And he hangs out with people who commit three felonies a page.
But that's none of my business.
It's all in good fun. And at the same time, it's kind of deep. But always spunky. Michael recently updated the book to a much better version. He released it as a paperback and for the first time on Kindle. As with this and all Freedom Fiends related things, please rate and review. Get Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women now on Amazon or at michaelwdean.com.
For entertainment purposes only.
Trumpykins before we before I went to break, and I mean, like we were saying in the last segment with this whole thing with the racism stuff. I mean, I don't know. We were talking about it before the show, and you know, James, you seem to think he's covering for them a lot more than I gave him credit for. But who knows? He's you know, like I said, I think he's just he's being smart and protecting his base, but like. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is just insane anyway. part of me just wants to let these people just like kill each other in the streets, you know. The the alt-right and whoever else is joining them, all these other white nationalist groups and white supremacist groups and whatever the hell heck it is, and, you know, the... A lot of the members of Antifa and people like that, like, right. A big part of me just wants to be like, you know, let them fight.
Well, it's not just
these, you know, Antifa that are out protesting against Nazis. You know, it's not just Antifa that are against the white supremacist KKK alt-right Klan rallies, whatever you want to call these things. You know, and to say, to let them just battle it out in the street, you know, that's, I mean, you're talking about having a lot of just, you know, ordinary people who are, you know, ordinary people do not like the Klan. Ordinary people are against, you know, Nazis. I remember there were, you know, years ago, there were, you know, there was a Klan rally in my town, and it was just ordinary people went out to protest against it, you know. It's not, you know, it's not like you don't have to be like a leftist or whatever to be against the Klan and to be against when they have their Klan rallies and stuff and protest against it.
Right.
And yeah, things can get heated. I mean, I had a buddy who went there when he went to the counter protest when he was a kid and, you know, threw tomatoes at the Klan. You know, he was just a little kid. You know, like it wasn't because he was, you know, some, you know, leftist Antifa terrorist. It was because it was the Klan, and they right. have no business, you know,
and
trying to intimidate
right
people
wrong.
On the street. You know, yeah. They have no business trying to, you know, intimidate people like that in the street right. with their, you know, violence, you know, calls to violence like that. And they have no business terrorizing people. And, so, you know, to say to let them fight it out in the streets, I don't know. I mean, we have, you know, two sides, and one definitely has the moral superiority when you have one side that says, I want to kill all brown people, all gay people, all Muslim people, and the other side says, hey, no, don't do that. One side definitely has the moral high ground. Whether or not there are bad actors that are also against... that will join, you know, ordinary people who are against, you know, this racism and Klan rallies and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll have ordinary people that'll join it. But the bad actors that are there that join it as well, you know, don't make it okay to kill the normal everyday people who aren't, you know, who are just there to, you know, voice their dissent against this Klan rallies and to rally in support of, you know, the people who the Klan is trying to oppress.
Well, but again, though, but see that's what I think part of the problem here is though it's not about two sides, because there's multiple sides on both on what is supposed to be both sides, because that's the whole thing. Like what you were describing about, you know, the people that are the violence and using, you know, threatening people and using intimidation. Well, that's what Antifa was doing at all the other rallies and stuff like that. And I understand that there's more than that on the one side. But there's much more than just the white nationalists and the KKK on the other side too. There's plenty of regular people that were there for that rally too, who think that taking these statues down is insane. I mean, the one picture I found the funniest was the one black guy with the MAGA hat on in the middle of all this, holding up one of his signs and stuff too, because he was with them, you know. So that's where I think that's where this whole thing gets twisted, because there is violent, nasty people on both sides, and they're the ones who are the right. focal point, you know, for the most part, for most people. All the ones on the right, all they see are the crazy, nasty Antifa people who are trying to intimidate, who are trying to use whether their own violence or use the state's violence against people. That's all they see. And then the ones on the left, all they see are the actual white nationalists. But I mean, the KKK, their numbers are pretty down over the past, you know, however many decades. And
no, they're rising lately, though.
Yeah,
they're showing
a huge
turnaround.
Huge turnaround.
But more. A lot of them are also federal agents.
Yeah, I'm thinking how accurate is this information I'm really getting out of the plan numbers? I'm going to send my agents out there to investigate. I need the real deal.
Well, we'll talk more about this when we get back.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hi, this is Mark Edge of Free Talk Live. Michael W. Dean's book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, changed my life. In a culture that attempts to turn you into a compliant victim, this book gives you implementable steps on everything from how to be aware of your environment walking down the street to business, to how to handle a toxic person in your life. If you're a human, you need to read this book at least once. Go to Amazon and get the Kindle version, or paperback, or an audiobook of A User's Manual for the Human Experience.
Something to say.
The floor is yours, Diana.
Before y'all get going.
Okay, no, I was going to hand it to you, but go ahead. Take it away.
So, I mean, here's how I see it, and I'm sure you guys probably see it the same way, that that the purpose that this serves, regardless of how many sides are on each side or whatever we're talking about, is essentially to provide an opportunity for the police state to increase. Or an excuse for the police state to increase, because, you know, Lord knows we need, you know, to be protected by, you know, anything going on either side that is potentially violent and could harm, like, the average citizen. So, gosh, we need more police.
No, yeah. I'm going to advocate instead for an increase in critical thinking and emotional balancing skills.
I agree with that. But, well, you know, that's what I'm saying. World, I'm just saying that, like, yeah, in a perfect world. But, I mean, that's the bottom line. That's what I see. And that, you know, people, like, taking sides or, you know, arguing for one side or the other is kind of like, it's just still kind of putting, you know, I believe that pitting the sides against each other is serving a purpose, and it's a purpose that I personally don't want to have happen. But it's just, as long as people are divided and these kind of things happen, it's just gonna, I don't know, I think it's just gonna get worse. So.
Well. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I actually made a meme, I think it was yesterday, on that very topic, you know, saying, are you looking for a bigger police state? Because this is how you get a bigger police state.
Yeah.
You know, because, right. You know, it's the, yeah, you're right. I mean, the whole divide and conquer thing. I've been saying this for the longest time now, that divide and conquer was the idea, like that idea. I mean, it's been around for, you know, ever, for pretty much as long mm-hmm. as people have been around. Right. But that whole idea is so powerful. It has become so, has been used so many times that it doesn't even need to be employed anymore by the quote unquote powers that be. People mm-hmm. are willingly engaging in it themselves because they succumb to the fear mongering, whatever mm-hmm. it is,
absolutely.
Whether it's this situation, yeah. whether it's the Muslims, whether it's drugs, whatever, right. whatever the government or whatever the powers that be in whatever situation right. it is, whatever the climate of fear they create, it becomes so ingrained in people that, you know, for generations, people just keep going on and on with the same stuff, and they don't even have to try anymore.
Right. And the other thing I want to say about that, about this whole thing too, is that, you know, I mean, obviously, it's a situation that's extremely concerning, and I'm definitely, you know, not. I wouldn't say I'm anti-fascist, but I'm not Antifa. If you understand what I'm saying, I think it's horrific what happened. But meanwhile, how many brown people were bombed overseas today? I don't know. What do you guys think?
Probably lots, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're continually distracted from that. Continually. You know, don't look over there. Don't look at, like, what is happening. You know, be distracted by this. You know, I mean, I do think these things are important, but at the same time, there's, you know, these ongoing, just perpetual, you know, wars happening that I think that people are not paying attention to anymore because of these kind of things happening.
It's kind of hard to stop those wars, but when it comes to impact, then there's the war of the money is taken out of everyone's pocketbook right now. Just as we speak, you know, all those.
Well, and that's just going to pay the interest. That's just going to pay interest. I mean, they just print money to fund the wars. So,
right, yeah. So you guys all missed it who, you know, aren't a fiend and you're not listening to us during the break, but some of us were bemoaning how late we were to invest in Bitcoin and crypto.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah, which, yeah, Bitcoin not bombs, baby.
So, yeah, we've got a message to our younger selves, that's for sure.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if only we could send messages back in time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe if one, you know, somebody, I have conversations like this all the time, and then my next thought is like, why isn't one of us working on a time machine? Why are we just complaining about this?
Right.
Because eventually, I like to hold out hope that eventually that will be created, that maybe we can solve all these issues just by going back and, you know, correcting
mistakes. Don't mouse pocket me, bro.
Like, yes, yes. I did it. I'm proud of it.
Pocket alibi. Don't mouse pocket me. Yeah.
Don't mouse pocket me, bro.
Allegedly.
Yeah. There hasn't been an update on that for a while. I think you know, Michael fell behind on that. Which I should send him some stuff and say, put this in now.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll jump right on that.
Yes. Well, you know, he's got time now. He's not doing the shows these days because his voice still isn't great. So, you know, he's got time.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, he took the editing gig for me tonight because he's like, I'm awake. I'm like, I'm okay.
Okay.
I'll go to sleep early. That's fine.
You're like, fine. Yeah. Early. Relatively early, I guess.
An hour earlier. Hey, every hour counts, you know. It's a huge difference going about 3 a.m. and 4 a.m., you know. It helps.
That's true. Yeah.
So, but anyway.
Are you all in the Eastern time zone, all of you guys?
No. I think I'm the only one who is. Or no, maybe James is too.
James is too. I'm in Mountain. I'm in the Mountain time zone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right now, by the way, it's 7:40 p.m. Oh, just to tell you.
Just rub it in.
I'm not rubbing it in.
Rubbing it in.
Say, like, I wish I could transfer this everything over there, you know. Or rather, I wish you could visit. Because
that would be even better. That's where we should have a Fiendfest, I think.
Yes.
Fiendfest. And by we, I mean the Fiends and Fiend fans, not my mouse pocket.
No, just Fiends.
Pocket mouse.
And Fiend fans.
Yeah, that's a festival I don't think I can afford to attend.
But that'd be an expensive festival trying to get all the way out there.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. It is pricey.
No, it's going to be the other way. But I'm going to fly out there.
If we invent that if we invent that time machine to go back in time and tell ourselves to buy more Bitcoin.
Ah, see?
Yeah.
See? I like the way you're thinking, James.
There you go.
It all comes back to the time machine. We got to get going on that.
it always comes back to the time machine.
Yeah. Everything would be so much easier if we would have just bought more Bitcoin.
Marty, you have to buy Bitcoin.
This is one of those horrible paradoxes for me though, because we're talking about, well, if I'd only done this and I could go back in time and fix it, but my issue right now is I wish I had paid more attention in science, then I'd know how to do certain things.
You know how to go back in time and
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do I fix that one though? Darn it.
Yeah, you missed the time travel lecture, Jeremy, and you would have known, and all of our problems would be solved.
If only you would have paid attention to the time travel.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was advanced placement class.
Yes. So now we got to invent another time machine to go back in time and tell us to pay attention in science class. We can invent the time machine in the first place.
Loop-de-loop-de-loop.
So a lot of having to go back in time.
Yeah.
Ah, that hindsight.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yes.
I know. Stupid hindsight.
Stupid eyes. Yes, it'd be much better if we could, you know, just block, you know, put a mental block on all of our, you know, mistakes and just never
Eternal
have to think
Sunshine
about them again.
Of the Spotless Mind, that movie.
I've never
had
seen
a machine that would do that. Yeah.
Is that what that was about?
Would. Yeah, they would erase all. Like, if, it was really.
Did you
really
have
good
a
movie.
Bad first experience with a woman? Well, you can erase that. You know.
Yeah.
And then
it would erase your bad the memories of your unfortunate experiences.
Yeah, but to erase my memories that I should have bought more Bitcoin, I wouldn't be able to have any Bitcoin right now.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So that would be purposeless.
That would really wouldn't be possible. because I don't want to get rid of the Bitcoin I have now to erase the idea that I should have bought more.
Right.
I'm not really into the mind erasing as solution thing, you know?
Yeah, me either. Just a suggestion.
So maybe the solution is just to buy more Bitcoin now.
It could be, because before it's all said and done, it could be $1 million.
Well, that's actually interesting. There was an article that I had. I think Michael sent me this earlier, or somebody did. I think I actually saw Lisa had it posted. The one Bitcoin trader who goes by the name Master Luck, who's been pretty accurate over the past couple of years with the, you know, nailing like the spikes and the drops mm-hmm. in the market to almost to like the day in a lot of the situations, has all of a sudden decided that he thinks it's gonna rise to 15 grand before the end of the year.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
I definitely need to buy more.
Well, see, that's the position I'm in right now, because again, here we are in one of those positions where I don't have a lot of money, so I don't have a lot that I can really play with. But I, you know, as we were talking before, you know, as we've been talking about now, and we were talking about in the break earlier, you know, all those opportunities when they came up, you know, all, you know, we kick ourselves in the butt because we're like, oh, we should have bought more, should have bought more, mm-hmm. should have bought more. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, is now the time should I take it? Now, of course, all the times that I didn't and I lost out, this would be the time that it doesn't happen, and I would be screwed.
And this is the time. You can help Jeremy. So go contribute to his GoFundMe right now, because he needs to buy more Bitcoin right now.
You know, you can just donate Bitcoin. You can actually donate Bitcoin straight to the...
Yeah, even better.
We take Bitcoin here in the Fiends, but I also take Bitcoins on the Seeds of Liberty podcast, by the way. You know, for anybody
please
who wants to go over and check.
If you send it to Seeds of Liberty, that's going to direct help the BipTots and all the kinds of things that you listeners love. Just saying. That's my plug for you, Jeremy.
Oh, thank you, Daryl.
Speaking of BipTots, you posted something, Jeremy, about about your experience with somebody that restoring your faith in humanity.
Oh yes, yes.
Yeah, I read that and I thought, yeah, this is really good. And you, I don't know, you guys might want to save that for the redemption in the third act. But I just thought that was a great story. And yeah, I mean, there are really, really good people out there, and it's easy to lose sight of that sometimes. But it's I love it when things like that happen, and just to remind you, you know, that there are decent people and actually really good people.
Yes, there are. So, and thank you for reminding me of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, now that we're going to bury the lead for a moment, we'll get back to that later. That actually, we probably actually will have a good redemption for once then. So, yeah, we'll save that for the second hour. But on that note, we'll head back out to the market.
And, buy things.
Buy things. Yes, everybody go buy things, especially Bitcoin.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
I love the Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
Again, stumbling over things during the break, trying to figure We're I don't even remember. I don't know if we actually even finished off. We just started jumping topics, and I don't know if we finished off our discussion about the Klan and stuff. I actually was interested in that. So now that Darryl reminded me that just before we came back, we started talking about the different groups that were there and stuff. And James, you were saying that you have like firsthand experience with them because of where you live.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying in that regards. I'll let you speak in a second. But when I first moved to Long Island, I actually did move to a town that I later found out was actually had like the largest population of Klan members on Long Island.
I remember you saying that before.
Yeah, it was really weird when I moved here because I came from Pennsylvania, which was like I lived in an all white town up in the mountains, but I went to a high school that was like had like 2,000 people in the graduating class, and it was pretty much 50-50. So that's like how I grew up, you know, white. You know, I didn't even think of anything. And then when I moved up here to like New York, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm close to New York City. You know, it's going to be very diversified stuff. Yeah, I moved into a town. There was one black family in the entire, or no, there might be one, and maybe one or two Indian families moved in after that. But I always thought that was weird, and then I found out later why, because yeah, there was a lot of it was an all white town.
Yeah.
But what are your experiences up there in the very far the north?
In the very far north, yes. Well, I mean, I got some stories. I mean, I could tell you a story about recently. I guess I don't know if I got enough time to tell the whole story. But I had after Colin Kaepernick had as many people know, Colin Kaepernick's the football player who was kneeling during the national anthem. Well, I had purchased one of his jerseys and went to the bar wearing it. And, you know, as soon as I go to the bar and I wear it, which is probably a bad idea, but in the town I live in, you know, I was followed out to my car and threatened by a group of, you know, neo-Nazis.
Wow.
Told me that, you know, they'd put a bullet in me if they ever saw me again. That's just the kind of stuff that, you know, you have there. And, you know, they called me all sorts of names and, you know, threatened my life. And that's the kind of stuff that happens with the Klan and neo-Nazis and stuff like that. And what's funny, you know, these people had claimed, the group of neo-Nazis that were threatening me had all claimed to be, you know, former U.S. Troops and stuff like that. And you find a lot of weird link with that I noticed, like with the Charlottesville thing, the leader of the Vanguard America, which is the neo-Nazi gang that James Fields, the guy who ran his car into the group of people was from, the leader of that group, Dylan Hopper, he's a former U.S. Marine. I think that's a little bit weird that you see a lot of link there with, you know, former soldiers joining these white supremacists and white nationalists, even starting, you know, and leading these white nationalist organizations. It's weird to me to see that. Huh. I don't know.
You find that surprising? I don't find that surprising, really.
I do. I do find it surprising. Because, I mean, I don't know. You know, why? Why would a U.S. soldier want to go play Nazi? You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. But, you know, there's been a part of the neo-Nazi plan for, you know, the past 10 or so years where they've kind of switched their MOs. And, you know, now they go and they wear, as we saw at the rally, you know, they're not, you know, they don't have, you know, swastikas tattooed on their face anymore. They're wearing polo shirts and stuff like that. They're trying, mm-hmm. They try and look more clean cut. They're, you know, they're not shaving their head, you know, down to the bone anymore. You know, they're wearing, you know, longer hair, looking more and more preppy. And that's part of, like, the move that you've seen with the neo-Nazis in recent years is that they're, you know, they're trying to hide from, you know, the stereotypical neo-Nazi bonehead gang kind of thing and move over to be, like, a more, you know, socially acceptable neo-Nazi. to try and sell their message better or something. But
it sounds like a good profile on a dating site. Socially acceptable Nazi.
I won't scare your friends or your family, at least initially.
until they open their mouth. Until they open their mouth.
Right.
You know the sweater that's tied around your front there and hanging off the back? You know, like that. It's a social design.
Oh, man. And your pants have like the little embroidered crabs on them. Your shorts, or whatever. Like, I don't know. Super preppy.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LivePair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no-government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Yucky. Yuck. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Or orgy. No slaps. I said orgy. All right. So how's everybody doing this second hour? Hanging in there?
Hanging in there.
Yeah. We're all still here. I think.
Just picturing that.
I guess. I know. The low orbit ion cannon.
Yeah, exactly. That's quite a platform. I'm glad that we have raised enough funds for that. You know.
But not for a time machine.
Still saving up. But you too can contribute to. We'll put the Bitcoin address out.
That's right.
Yes.
We'll go down in history as being the group that actually invented a workable time machine. Yes. I don't know if anybody's actually tried to develop one at all.
I'm pretty
besides
sure
in the movies.
It's been in movies. You saw that they just ordered it online, Napoleon Dynamite. You know, that one worked.
Oh, yeah. But you can't forget the crystals.
I'm like drawing a blank as you guys are saying that. I'm like, I don't remember that. And then I realized I've only ever seen that movie once. So.
Oh my gosh, I've seen it over and over again.
So I barely remember it. This, but I remember the, you know, do chickens have talons?
Do the chickens have sharp talons?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the time machine is they. It was just like this makeshift thing that Kip ordered. And it just like had like, I don't know, like a piece of masking tape on the front of it, like that had like said time machine or something on it. and it was funny because, you know, he goes to start using it, and you have to put this thing like went between your legs and these handles that you held on to. And
so you have some conductive metal between your legs and conductive metal in your hands.
Right. And he goes, oh, I forgot the crystals. Because there's like this little container in the top of the thing that you put supposedly these quartz crystals in that actually make the machine work. Of course, mm-hmm. That makes complete sense. And then, you know, he kind of proceeded to fry his testicles.
What about the flux capacitor, though?
What?
Flux capacitor?
Oh, yeah, the flux capacitor from Back to the Future.
Mm, we need that.
Yeah, well, what's so funny is that from watching Back to the Future and you know, the whole flux capacitor thing, I didn't realize that was an actual thing until much later, that is an actual machine part for certain machines, a flux capacitor.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, look it up.
I got my mind spinning, like, oh, wow, I just learned something, I think, if I could trust you, Diana. You know, but yeah, I believe you.
Well, let me look it up just to make sure I'm accurate about this. But I mean, I could have sworn I've seen or heard people talk, or you know, read or heard somebody talk about that as being, capacitor. I'm looking it up.
I've never heard it in any other context other than that movie. I'm not saying that it's not true. I just I'm glad you're looking it up because
you can actually buy a flux capacitor at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Yep, you can.
What is it?
Yep.
What is the one you buy at O'Reilly Auto Parts do?
Let's see.
Let's see. It is.
Okay. So it's just a
part number 121G.
Yeah, you went to the same thing as yep. I did. Yeah. And then it says detailed in the detailed description: time travel at your own risk.
Oh yeah.
Plutonium is required to properly operate the flux capacitor, though.
Okay, so I could have sworn that I've seen where that is an actual car part, but maybe not. Or maybe it's just some type of capacitor, not necessarily a flux capacitor.
Yes.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would have thought I would have heard that by now, but, you know. I do miss a lot of things. I don't pay that much attention.
Well, the flux capacitor requires a stainless steel body of the 81-83 DeLorean
DMC right.
12 V6 2.9 liter to properly function.
Okay, so I'm looking up capacitors, and there are actual capacitors that are
well, sure, they're carbons, yes.
So maybe that's just what I heard about. I heard about a capacitor, and immediately in my
maybe
mind
just wanted it. Maybe you just wanted it to be the case,
or something. Maybe. Yeah.
Yes. Your mind said that would just be really cool, so we're gonna make it so.
Right, my brain like filled in the rest of the term, and where I saw capacitor, immediately thought flux capacitor. So I just I'm like, oh, it's an actual thing.
Well, unfortunately,
I hope that was entertaining to some people.
This item is not available for purchase at O'Reilly's, it says. So, unfortunately, they may have it on the website, but it's not available for purchase.
Is it out of stock or just a big tease?
I think it's a big tease. It doesn't say it's out of stock or coming soon. It just says not available for purchase. Yeah, so.
Bummer. Well, you know, there goes our plan.
Yeah, there goes that plan.
Yeah.
Guess you're going to have to go learn that science thing all over again and actually figure it out ourselves, huh?
Nah,
man,
can't just go to O'Reilly's Auto Parts.
I was really hoping we could bypass that.
Just a run to O'Reilly's would make things a lot easier.
I know, right?
I'm going to Khan Academy, and I'm going to study flux capacitors over here.
Yeah. Do they have a time? I haven't been to Con in a while. Do they have a time travel section?
You guys got to get with it.
Getting with it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny.
Times, you know, James?
I did plan on making use of Khan Academy.
I gotta use Khan Academy. Gotta Coursera, Khan Academy. We got the resources. We just need to study time travel.
Yeah, they don't have a section. We should write to them and see if they'll add one.
Yeah, they need to have a time travel class so we can buy more Bitcoin. Call the class Buying More Bitcoin with Time Travel.
Sweet. I like that. Yeah, that's perfect.
That's a good show title.
Yes.
Writing it down for sure.
I think it shall be. So, anyway. Speaking of Bitcoin, I did mention that a little bit in the last hour about the recent predictions about Bitcoin's rise, and that's why we keep referring to the fact that we wish we could go back and buy some more. Well,
if that prediction turns out to be true, won't you wish you had bought more now?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
but that, you know, it's one of those risks I don't know if I can take at the moment. But
right.
You don't have
to buy a whole Bitcoin. You can buy, you know.
Well, no, I know that, but it's just it's just interesting though, because like I mean, in terms of like just you know in terms of all the other money and currency that's currently out there, like a jump to that much. I mean, I wonder how it's going to get that high without the dollar coming like really on the verge of collapse. Like, I wonder if those two things, like, because I've been hearing a lot of other rumblings too that there might be something headed down towards the end of the year that is going to be really, really bad for most of us. And that would be an interesting, well, it would make sense for, you know, because that's the one thing that the reason I've kept whatever cryptos that I've had is, you know, the kind of, you know, as part of that hedge against, you know, when the dollar finally collapses, you'll have things in, you know, especially as it's on its way down, when the lovely hyperinflation finally sets in and everything goes insane. Then you'll be in good then I would be in good shape, which is why I did that. But if it's coming this soon, I mean, I don't know. I don't know enough about this stuff, and you know, this guy obviously could be wrong, but he's not the only one. There's been a lot of other people, you know, talking about sharp spikes coming in the next year or two.
Speaking of Master,
what's that, Daryl?
The Master Luck, the Bitcoin prediction guy.
Yeah.
Okay. That's when you said this guy.
Yes.
Well, you had mentioned him in the last hour. You mentioned him.
Yeah. I'm just trying to fill in for.
No, thank you. You're right. I thought I did bring him up again. But that's what we're talking about in the last hour. This guy who Bitcoin trader who goes by that handle, I guess. But he's been pretty good about this. Not only calling like the spikes in the Bitcoin in the price, but also when it would crash again. You know, and he's done this a number of times over the past couple of years with pretty insane accuracy.
So crash means it's on sale.
Yes.
Right. So,
in exactly. case you didn't understand how to interpret that. Unfortunately, see, that's what I would go back in time and tell myself. Crash means this is totally temporary. It means it's on sale now.
Right. Bitcoin sale.
But back then I was like, oh, it's all over. The party's over. Pork Fest is over. Everything's over.
See, I got in so late to cryptocurrencies that I never experienced that part of it. I just from the onset, I was just like, oh yeah, it's on sale. That's good. Even on sale, I can't afford any right now. Darn it. Which is why I'm still left there with that. I wish I had bought more. Like, I was always able to buy a little bit, but if I had just been able to buy a little bit more. Even at the sale prices, it was always like, it was just whenever those sales happened, it was always just the worst time for me.
Yeah,
that's
me
the
too,
thing is, it's never a good time. Bitcoin can never crash when it's a good time for me.
I know, man. It's like there was always like an unexpected thing with the kids came up, or like, you know, there was a vet bill I had to pay, or or something happened to my car, and it's like really, really now of all times. So I don't know. I'll remain hopeful that this, you know, even to see it past 5,000 is going to be insane, you know. So I mean, 15,000 would be great, but not too late, people. I'm telling people, still not too late. Get on board. Do it.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
So we're back.
Don't sound so excited.
Well, I was trying to read the story that James has said, and because he got me all excited about it at first, and then I know he said the guy's He's a racist. He said he's a racist.
It's like, oh, never mind. He's a racist. Yeah, I didn't get the article, James.
I sent it to your email. Should have it in your email.
Well, anyway, before we better to lead anymore. But, well, now we started talking about it.
Now we got to talk about it.
Yeah,
it did a funny thing for all the wrong reasons.
Yes, there you go.
So a Vermont farmer who was upset with what he thinks are loose immigration policies ended up spraying a Border Patrol agent's car with manure.
And what did they actually charge him with?
Disorderly conduct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's they say it's not clear if he could face federal charges. He was cited on a separate charge of disorderly conduct and received a $160 ticket for riding a all-terrain vehicle on a paved road. So that's what he's charged with as of right now.
Okay. All right. Now, hold on a second. I mean, okay, yes. Vermont. The guy obviously has some issues because he's upset with, you know, immigration policy. That's just a whole other set of issues. He might be a racist, but I think the biggest travesty here is a $160 fine for riding his ATV on the road. I mean, come on.
That's ridiculous.
That is so Vermont. I live there. Yeah. That's totally Vermont.
That does seem like a Vermont thing.
They pull up behind me when I'm just pulled over with my truck drinking my coffee in the morning at 7. Just looking at the scenery and clouds on a dirt road. Like, everything okay over here? You know?
Not allowed to drink your coffee on a dirt road, huh?
I sigh.
In a truck.
I speak the words that they want to hear. I say the words to make them go away. I guess. But man, this guy. Unfortunately, when you spray coffee on a cop's car, it's harder to say the words to make them just go away. I didn't know this.
This is true.
Spraying coffee or manure? You said coffee.
He was talking about himself, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when you spray, but when you spray manure all over the car, well, what happened to this guy?
Well, you get arrested, apparently, or at least charged with, or you get ticketed and stuff. But yeah, I mean, it may have been for the wrong reasons, but the picture is great because the picture, and I'll send this to Michael so he can put it in the show notes. But it's a white car with, you know, green lettering on it, and it's just almost completely brown. You know, like he really got them good, and you know, so it's you know. Wish he had a better reason for it, but it is pretty darn funny. And
if only more people would spray Border Patrol agents' cars with manure, I think we'd America would be better.
Yeah, but you know, see, the problem with that is even something like, I mean, something like that would, like that we here would find hysterical. You know, that could get you shot by these crazy people. I don't know, man. I don't trust them. I mean, we talked about that on Sunday night show, I think, briefly. With part of the thing with what happened in Charlottesville was that it bled over into other cities having rallies and stuff like that. And I think it was up in Seattle where the protesters were shooting the police with a silly string.
Mm-hmm.
And they responded by hitting them with flashbang grenades and
of course, yeah.
And then pepper spray and stuff. It's like
you can't silly
overkill
string
much.
Come on, a silly string. Get real.
Well, that's why I'm saying as funny as spraying these, you know, any type of law enforcement agent with manure would be. You know, anytime I think of that, I do. We actually, you know, we're talking about time travel. We mentioned this before. Anytime we think of manure, I think of Back to the Future and the scenes with Biff sliding into the manure truck over and over and over again.
The manure filling his convertible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, as fun as that sounds, I could, you know, I don't know how often Border Patrol people shoot non-border jumpers, but it's still kind of risky, unfortunately.
Apparently, this guy has made so many reports to ICE that they threatened to charge him with harassment if he's ever contacted them again.
Wow.
This guy really...
All right, you know what? I'm gonna take the racist theory and say that there's a really good chance that it's true.
Sounds like it.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. And get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android Worms.
To laid me out there. When we, threw me off. When we went to the break, we were talking about the crazy man, the crazy obsessed guy, the guy obsessed with immigration. But it reminded me of one of the stories that I think it was one of the stories that I brought. Did you guys read the one from Vice about the woman who got banned from? You know, speaking of border and stuff, like this thing was crazy. Like the lengths that the government is legal, you know, quote unquote legally allowed to search your stuff, like what they're allowed to get away with already is just insane. Like this story I found on Vice, which I try not to travel too often because most of their stuff I think is cancer, but this one caught my eye, and the headline was "Woman banned from U.S. after border agent finds proof of drug use on phone." And so like this woman is Canadian, and she was traveling across the border, which she has done to Washington State, which she's done, you know, plenty of times before. Apparently, I think she was coming across with her boyfriend to go to see a concert.
Right. Yeah.
And
for his birthday or something, or her birthday, or
I think it was his birthday. They ended up searching her phone because they, you know, they just decided they, you know, wanted to look further into her, and they went through her phone and found an email between her and her doctor that, you know, talking about a case where she accidentally ingested fentanyl a year ago or so.
Mm-hmm. She thought it was cocaine and it was fentanyl.
Yeah. So like.
Yeah.
Yeah, and based on this, they have now banned her permanently from the United States.
Right. And if she wants to come in, she has to spend a buttload of money on a waiver, which I guess, I don't know if I would, like, is it worth it? Like, they were talking about that there was, like, over $500 in fees for a waiver, and they expire. The waivers aren't, like, a lifetime thing. I mean, they expire after a few years, so... You know, if she wanted to, you know, come back, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't, God knows why she would want to come back. Well, that's like a license to visit the U.S. Huh?
What's that, Daryl?
It's like a license to visit the U.S., this waiver that you pay, like, $500 to. You know, if you're just wealthy, you can just pay that. I pay for my acupuncture license. I can imagine just... So, you are a special case because we caught you that you happened to do some certain drugs, so... Now you have to pay for permission, which is what a license is, to go ahead and visit the U.S., which everyone else can do, because, you know, want to prove that you're competent, which is obviously done by paying money.
Right. The sad thing about it is that, you know, she, and I read the whole article, she said that after that experience that she hasn't used recreational drugs since then. You know, because it was such a scary experience for her.
Yeah, she almost died.
Like, her friend did die from it.
The other person she did this stuff with that night died, and the dealer who gave it to them almost died as well.
Yeah.
So like, this was a situation where, you know, somebody just got some bad stuff, but it's like, The fact that they were able, just because they decided, you know, the way that she, they didn't like the way she answered some of the questions, I guess, on the, you know, trying to get into the country, they decided she was worth a secondary look. And that's when, you know, because of the way the laws are set up and because of the way they're allowed to search people, they're allowed to just like pry into your stuff and literally just go through your emails on your phone.
Mm-hmm. I think how long did they spend? I think it was like 2 hours.
Yeah,
they spent searching her phone. Ridiculous.
Yeah, and then I mean one of the things that says, you know, she admitted to using illegal drugs, which again is to me is insane. So what if she's not on them at the time and not driving a vehicle and not like putting anybody in danger? Like, what is the problem?
Right.
That she's done something in the past? But mm-hmm. like, this is one of those things that just it sets a precedent.
Yeah.
That, you know,
yeah.
we were talking about earlier about the issues in Charlottesville and stuff and how it ends up creating a rot. Just all it does is increase the police state.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one of these things that it's like, you know, some people may think, you know, it's no big deal. It's like, well, no, this, like when you set precedents like this, this opens, you know, anybody being able to be targeted for pretty much anything at this point.
Right.
You know,
well, yeah. And I think it actually goes both ways, though. I mean, I think that people experience similar things, you know, sometimes when they're trying to go into Canada. I mean, I don't think it's the same, you know, trying to go into Mexico. But I mean, it just it illustrates just the stupidity of the imaginary lines that we call borders between countries. You know, I think that I think that Canada has some pretty strict rules, too, about who they will allow in. And yeah, that's just what I've heard.
Oh, and no, I get that. I mean, of yeah. course, there's, you know, there's insane border laws, you know, in plenty of places. But it's right. just the fact like that, like this is now a banishment level offense.
Right.
The like, fact yeah. that you once did. You know, and it's not even like they found like a string of text messages from like her and the dealer or something. They found an email between her and her doctor.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, you know, very recent that it happened.
No, yeah, it was over a year ago or two years ago or something. So like that, like, but just the fact that she had done this at this one point is worthy of a banishment. You know, that to me, that's just, well, it's plain insane.
Yeah.
And yet, it makes people money.
It is insane.
Yeah.
I mean,
what was that, Daryl?
Someone made money on that. You know, a lot of people made money on that, actually. Or several people made money on banishing her from the United States. You know, they're just like, okay, you can come back, pay this much. Oh, and I don't know how much she had to pay just to get out of that trouble that she was in right there. But, you know, I don't know. Like, I think every time the government seems to pass laws or create restrictions like this arbitrarily, it's just creates this scarcity, which just increases the value of freedom or free people to some degree. It creates scarcity for sure. Is this confusing, or what do you think?
I don't know.
An abundance of free people, but then the government can make regulations like this to say, we can look at your phone and we can now find you guilty, you know, without any real need to go further, and just say you're banned from the country and now there's one less person who's going to move freely without paying money, basically. So they kind of make a revenue stream.
Oh, yeah. That's, well, I mean, that's one of the things government's best at.
I guess I was just stating the obvious.
Yes, is creating revenue streams. But I mean, yeah, it's like I said, they do this. I mean, apparently, according to the article, that there's a lot of people, a lot of Canadians have been reporting that they've been banned, even for stuff as simply as just smoking weed. You know, which seems to coincide with you know, Trump's promise to crack down on border security, and most people think, you know, or they think of that, they think of those, you know, the illegal Mexicans coming over, or maybe, you know, the scary Muslims who are, you know, coming over through the border instead of on planes for some reason. But, you know, most people wouldn't think about this type of stuff, but it does seem to go hand in hand. Cause if you tie that with, good old Jeffy Sessions and his obsession with cracking down on drugs of all kind, especially marijuana. He's like, you know, which is like, you know, he's one of those people that the term devil's lettuce is said unironically when he uses it. Like, he really believes that. So that would make sense that they would, you know, be using that as an excuse to just like ban people. It's like, oh, you, I mean, not even if you have it on you, it's like, oh, you've talked about it. You did it at one point in time in your life. Okay. Yeah. We're going to, you can't come here anymore. Yeah, it completely seems to fly in. How does it not fly in the face of that whole land of the free BS that we're supposed to believe? You know? So I don't know. I don't understand how more people can't see like how insane this has gotten, that you can just, you know, you can willy nilly ban people from crossing a border, because they did something at one time. that didn't involve anybody else but them and almost killing themselves, you know.
I'm glad that's not part of my regular news feed, you know, this kind of thing of you getting banned for looking through your phone to find your drug use, like, alleged habit written.
Well, yeah, but I mean, on the one hand, it is a, you know, it's a cautionary tale, and it's, you know, it's horrible with the, you know, this I feel horrible this happened to this woman, but, you know, there were a lot of things in the article that said that there was a lot of precautions she didn't take at all. You know, like, her phone was not secured in any way.
Right, no password.
She had no password on it or anything. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to have to cross those imaginary, you know, those arbitrary invisible lines that governments call borders, you definitely should, you should definitely be a little more secure. I mean, even somebody like myself, who's, you know, still a relative noob when it comes to those things, even I know that. I mean, come on now.
Right.
You leave anything open like that. You know, much better idea if you're going to cross the border. If you have to have a phone, get a burner phone or something. And then you don't have to worry about it at all. They're, you know, I mean, you could go through the process of wiping your phone before you go. I've heard people recommend that too. I just think that's insane. That's just way too much work.
Sounds really complicated.
Yeah, I mean, what do you really need a phone for? Especially, I mean, if you're coming over for like an extended period of time, there's ways around that. And if you're only coming over for like a night or two, like these folks were, just for a concert, I mean, what do you really need? Maybe check on things back home? Okay, yeah, go get a $20 burner phone for the weekend, right. You know? And then you don't have to worry about any of your files, your photos, your messages, your emails, your contacts, other than whatever you put in that phone at that very moment. You don't have to worry about anything. You know, again, not that's not saying what I think what they did to her is right, because I think it's insane that this is the way the laws are now set up, that they're allowed to do this stuff, that they could search these things. And the fact that this has been extended to like not just the border, I think most of these crazy searches that they're allowed to do now have been extended to like that 100-mile mark within the border of the states, you know, within the U.S. border. So thanks, government.
Allegedly.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Okay, so the first hour, I mentioned something about something that Jeremy posted on Facebook about restoring his faith in humanity kind of situation. And we decided to save that for the very end because we like to do a redemption in the third act in the very last segment. So, Jeremy, tell us what happened. Take it away. Like what, what happened that, you know, made you realize that there are actually still good people out there and that your Bip Tots shouldn't always listen to daddy.
Yes. although I must correct you, I was gonna wait till their birthday, but I have rebranded my children. They're no longer the Bip Tots. I realized that they're about to turn six.
Okay.
So I was like, we got to do something, and so we've upgraded them. They're now just the Bip twins.
Twins.
I can carry that for a while now. Because I don't know if I told this. I think I might have told this story. They actually got mad at the Midwest Peace Liberty Fest when everybody kept calling them the Bip Tots. They didn't understand what it was.
No.
And they didn't realize that everybody meant it like lovingly.
Oh right. Yeah.
I had to try to explain to him, like, stop. Yeah. I'm like, don't be mad at them. I'm like, it's daddy. Daddy came up with that.
Well, and at that age, you're sensitive about like being still considered a little kid. Like, yeah, that, like it's at that age, you're like, you're now a big kid.
Exactly. So. Anyway, so yeah, so I was out with them the other day, and we were out running out. You know, we had they came to work with me to go check on some animals, and then we had a couple errands to run. In the middle of that, we stopped at 7-Eleven so they could get their Slurpee fix because they do love their Slurpees. I try not to give them too many sweet, like too many crazy sweets and stuff like that, but they have become when they come to work with me on the weekends and they're good, they get to have a Slurpee. Usually just one a week or whatever, but whatever. So we're there, and they are, of course, trying to figure out what flavor they want because they're so funny. They almost always pick the same flavor, but they have to run through a bunch of three or four different ones and think about it and say, I don't know. So we go in, and they're going through their little spiel, and I'm just kind of standing there waiting. And there's this nice older woman who was using the iced coffee machine, which is right next to the Slurpee machine, and she looks at them and smiles. And then I kind of like half notice her like just continuing to smile, like chuckling to herself as she's like listening to the two of them like talk to each other about their Slurpees and what they're gonna get, and you know, and then she like disappears and I kind of forget about it, and we, you know, we go through the store and I go to pick up something to drink for myself, and a couple minutes later when we come up to the counter, I see the woman, she's still standing there, and you know, and I really don't, at first I don't really think anything of it. I just figure, you know, she's finally made up to it, you know, maybe she walked slowly, I didn't really notice, and she finally got there. And as I go to like, I start, you know, put my stuff on the counter, I start to pull out my money, and like at the same time, like her and the cashier both kind of like put their hand up and were like, don't bother. And I was like all confused, and I was like, we were running late and stuff, and I was like, oh man, and like the register's broken, because like I've been in 7-Elevens before where like stupid stuff like that happens, like the registers go down, and like the idiots are trained on these electronic registers and they can't figure out how to make change themselves, and just like do quick math and stuff like that, like I used to do when I worked at 7-Eleven. So that's like my first instinct. I'm like, oh man, is this really going to happen right now? The kids are going to be upset. They're really going to want their Slurpees. And the clerk just kind of like shook his head and laughed and like pointed at the woman. And the woman was like, she's like, I've just been waiting here to see if you guys wanted anything else. And I'm like, excuse me? And she's like, oh yeah. She's like, I was just, you know, I saw you were getting drinks. I wanted to know if you wanted to get anything else, because I'm buying for you. I'm buying. And I'm like, excuse me? Like, I was like flabbergasted. Like, I was like stunned. Like, I was like, what the? Because like, I've heard, my ex tells me that this happens to her regularly with the kids. Like, people like offer to buy the kids stuff and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
But it never happens to me. Yeah. And I just think she's making it up to rub it in. So, like, and just, you know, to like make me feel bad, because I never see it. But it was like, and I was just like, so like, I like could barely say thank you to this woman. Like, I'm like, that's so nice, because she's like paying for not just my kids and me. And she was like, I was like going to pay for other stuff too if you wanted it. And it's not like we looked like we were poor or anything like that. She just wanted to be nice because she thought my kids were cute and it was nice. And it was like, and then she just, before I could really say thank you to her, she just like walked out the door. And yeah, like you said, I turned to my kids as I was walking out the door, and I looked at them. I said, don't always listen to daddy, girls, because, you know, people aren't as always as horrible as I say they are, because, you know, you don't even understand this, but that woman just made my day. You know, because she paid for our drinks, and they're just like, they're like, we got our Slurpees. That's all we care about.
Right. So we got our Slurpees, right? I mean, I just want to make sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I'm like,
that's covered.
Thanks for ruining the moment, kids. But yeah, that was my story. So
worms.
It's been fun, guys.